Thank you for blessing us. It's fun to watch you play the piano. It's fun to hear you play and to hear you sing. And thank you for how you have blessed us today. I do not know of any other day of the year that I feel more unable to rise to the task. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that we serve a living Savior, risen Christ. And I find myself wishing, Lord, I wish there was something about me that could really express what I'm feeling and the truth that you share in your word. And sometimes I feel like children get it in a way that's sometimes simple and yet so sublime and sweet. If you ever get a chance to, come a little early, just before Sunday school, and Jack meets with our children and has a little chorus that they sing and choreography. Now, it's worth coming just to see Jack and the choreography because we have a good time. But when it comes to the resurrection, sometimes children's perspectives are really rich and sweet. A pastor gathered together his second grade children in Sunday school on Easter Sunday, and in trying to be creative with his introduction to the Easter theme, he said, "Now, boys and girls, does anybody know Jesus' first words out of the tomb?" Does anybody know Jesus' first words? And one little girl raised her hand, and the pastor said, "Honey, what were Jesus' first words out of the tomb?" And she, with great motion and enthusiasm, said, "Ta-da!" Only a child. But you know, in the book of Romans, Martin Luther called the book of Romans the greatest theological treatise in all the New Testament. It contains the plan of salvation more completely than any other single book, perhaps with the exception of the book of Hebrews. And it's a marvelous account found in Romans chapter 1 that I want to just share with you this morning briefly. And the title of the message is Resurrection Declaration. Now, that may sound like a little bit of an unusual title, but listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Rome, chapter 1 and verse 4. The introduction, by the way, these first three verses introduce the whole book's theme, the theme of the loving lordship of Jesus and his finished work on Calvary's cross. And then in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now listen, verse 4, Romans chapter 1. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Everything we believe as children of God swings on the hinges of the fact of the resurrection. The fact of the resurrection is Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, there have been enemies of that truth. There were those who said he just swooned at the cross and was not dead at all. But to believe that, you've got to, well, like one little boy in Sunday school was asked, how in the world is your little infant sister doing? She's just born. How is she doing? She wasn't but just a couple of weeks old. He said, well, she's doing fine, but her head's on loose. Some of you get that after a while. And I want to tell you, people who believe Jesus didn't really die on the cross, their heads are on loose. Because Jesus didn't swoon. He wasn't placed in the tomb there to be revived by the dampness of the tomb. He had been nailed to a cross for 6 hours, thrust through with a soldier's spear, died in such a way that the heavens rumbled and the sky turned black and the earth convulsed with the death of our Lord. But by the resurrection, he is declared to be the Son of God. Now that word declared is an interesting word. It's a word, thentos. And it really means a declaration or a decree that has a sense of urgency about it. And the best way I can describe it for you is a judge with a gavel in a courtroom coming to the end of a trial and then slamming down the gavel on the bench and declaring the case is over, the jury has spoken, the evidence is in, and the verdict is now this. Paul says all the evidence is in, and we've heard from the witnesses who were there, and I tell you that the resurrection declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a passage that's not listed in your bulletin, but it's one that I want us for a moment just to look at before we look at three or four very simple truths this morning that are profound in every way. It wouldn't be appropriate, I think, to go through Easter services without sharing the record of the gospel writers concerning the resurrection. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. You're familiar with the text. Then the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and while it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. I've often wondered what her first emotions must have been when she saw that stone rolled away. In fact, we have an idea because someone said that maybe they've come and stolen the body of Jesus. By the way, that theory don't hold water as well. Pilate said to the soldiers, who were trained Roman soldiers, make the tomb as sure as you can. Well, they did. They made it as sure as they could. By the way, if the soldiers had been negligent in their duty, it would have cost them their own lives. So I want to tell you, the soldiers guarded that tomb until the angel shut the soldiers down. Then in verse 2, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, of course, who's John, the writer of the gospel, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, in verse 3, therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. I like verse 4. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. And came first to the sepulchre. It reminded me, Joey, of you. We're glad to have our son Joey with us this morning. Joey's been an officer at the Sheriff's Department in Shelby County for 25 years. I want you to give the Lord a hand for our law enforcement officers. Fire officials, thank you. We lived in Gulfport, Mississippi. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is that John outran Peter to the tomb, and that there was a time I was pretty fleet of foot. Now that's not a joke. I haven't always looked like this. I tell people, by the way, when you look at me, you need to understand I am a recovering anorexic. Doing pretty well, don't you think? Joey, you remember this day. We were down on the beach in Gulfport, Mississippi. And Joey said, Daddy, I'll race you down the beach. Joey wasn't 13 years old. Anybody can beat a 13-year-old, unless somebody who's a lot older than 13. And we started down the beach, and it was neck and neck. And I looked over there, I could see him by my side. And I wasn't putting any distance between me and him. And I was going as fast as I could go. And I thought, this boy's going to beat me, and I'll never live it down. And so I said, I'm going to give it a little extra. So I leaned forward like you're leaning into the tape, and I got off balance, Stacy. And I went down, and I tumbled like a semi-tractor-trailer rig on an icy freeway. Joey told his mama he thought Daddy got killed there on the beach. Daddy, you all right? I said, no, I will be in a minute. I'm not now. So I understand that sometimes when you get a little older, you're not quite as speedy as you used to be, as you were before. They ran together. One of our disciples outran the other. And he stooped down, and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying, and yet he didn't go in. He went not in. Then comes Simon Peter, and following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and he believed. For as yet they had not known the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was him or that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you've borne him hence, if you've carried him somewhere, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. And then Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, or don't cling to me, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father and to my brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And finally, in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that wonderful passage, it says, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. I want to share with you several declarations from the cross that make it absolutely clear and without any doubt at all what the disciples saw, what they encountered, what they experienced, and what the empty tomb declares about Jesus. First of all, the empty tomb declares that Jesus, who Jesus is, he is the sovereign Son of God. Now, when I say sovereign, you already understand that means the one above all, over all, the head of all. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. He is the sovereign Son of God. Years ago, it was my privilege to go to a convention where I heard a preacher preach that I had never heard of, but I never forgot after that day. His name was S.M. Lockridge, Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He was the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California. And he was one of the preachingest preachers I ever heard in all of my life. Listen to what S.M. Lockridge said about the sovereign name of Jesus, the one whose name is above all name. And if you choose to have a spell, help yourself. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He's the creator, said S.M. Lockridge. He didn't have to take out a copyright on the song that the songbirds sing. He's Lord. He designated every mountain, valley, river, stream, and ocean. He's the architect of eternity. He is the artist of the ages. He painted every sunrise and every sunset. And then he went on to say, and you can just imagine in between, he goes something like this. He's the creator. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is irresistible and irreplaceable. He is indescribable and incomprehensible. He is unique and unfathomable. What I'm trying to say to you, said S.M. Lockridge, is Jesus is Lord. Can you say amen? His name is wonderful. Jesus is the Lord. And S.M. Lockridge said, on my mother's side, Jesus would say, if you ask him, Jesus, tell us about your name. On my mother's side, I am Jesus. On my father's side, I am Emmanuel. Jesus, where is your home? Well, on my mother's side, I was born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. But on my father's side, my home is a place called glory. Jesus, how old are you? Well, on my mother's side, I'm a baby, a 12-year-old boy, and a 32-and-a-half-year-old man. But on my father's side, I'm the Ancient of the Day, Ancient of Days, one without beginning and without ending of days. I'm trying to tell you, said Dr. Lockridge, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, what's your occupation? On my mother's side, I'm a carpenter. On my father's side, I'm the kinsman redeemer. On my mother's side, I have brothers and sisters. Let me tell you about my family. But on my father's side, I'm the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God. Jesus, when did all this happen? Well, on my mother's side, I was. And on my father's side, I am. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Yeah. Amen! What a Savior! What a glorious Lord! He's Lord. His name says is His Lord, and He's a sovereign Lord. Now hold on to your seats. He's the Amen and the Alpha. Don't try to take notes. You can't do it. You're not that fast. He's the Almighty. He's the Advocate. He's the Anointed and the Ancient of Days. He's the Author and Finisher of our faith, and He's the Atoner for sin and the Arrester of the storm. Can you say amen? Amen? Ain't nobody like Jesus. Not good grammar, but great theology. Jesus is the only one. He is the beginning and the end. He's the bridge to heaven, the bishop of our souls, the bridegroom, the balm of Gilead, Bethlehem's babe, and the beloved son. He's the burden bearer and the bright and the morning star. What are we trying to say? Jesus is Lord, and He's declared to be Lord by the power of the resurrection. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the bread of life and the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the captain of the conquerors. He's the Christ. He's the counselor, the comforter, and the creator. He's the cornerstone, the crucified one in our city of refuge. He's the day star, the door, the deliverer of the captives, and He is the one who is the desire of the nations. He is Daniel's lion tamer and the dearest of 10,000 to my soul. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus is Lord. S.M. Lockridge said, as only he could say it, but don't forget, Jesus is Lord. He's the Eternal One. He is the Everlasting Father, the Evangelist of Eternity, who is excellent in His name. There is no other name above the name of Jesus. He is a Father to the fatherless, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the friend of sinners and the foundation of the church and the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the forerunner, the fountain of living water, the fourth man in the fire. I like that. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my souls. I've got goosebumps just thinking about who Jesus is. He's the governor. He's God. He's the glorious Lord. He's the good shepherd. He's the giver of life. He's the great physician, and He's the gateway to glory. I like this. He's hell's dread and heaven's wonder. He's the horn of salvation. He's the Holy One of Israel. We're talking about Jesus, the head of the church, the heir of all things, our hope, our help, our healer, and our high priest. Jesus is declared to be Lord by the resurrection from the dead. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the great I Am, the immortal one, the infinite one, the inheritance of the saints. He is Jesus, justifier, our judge, our joy, and our jubilee. Now get this. He's the keeper of the keys and our kinsman redeemer and the King of kings. He's the lover of my soul, the Lord of lords, the Lamb, the light, the life, the lawgiver, the liberator, the lily of the valley, and the living stone. Jesus is alive. He's the master of the mighty, the Messiah, the messenger of God, the man of sorrows, the mighty God, the miracle worker, the mediator between God and man. Folks, I'm just trying to tell you, like S.M. Lockridge did, ain't nobody like Jesus. He's King of kings and He's Lord of lords. And that grave is empty and it's no longer going to be needed anymore. And you know, Joseph gave Jesus that tomb. And I guess after the first couple of days, Joseph said, I'm going to have to go down to the funeral home and make some other arrangements because my tomb is taken. But on Sunday, he found out different. I hadn't got to go make any other arrangements because Jesus has cleaned out the tomb and made it a pleasant place for the body to await the resurrection morning. He's the Nazarite. He's the new covenant. He's the name above all names. Jesus the Omega, the offering of God, the obedient Son, our righteousness, the only begotten Son of the Father. He is our prophet, our priest, our propitiation, our payment for sin. He's the Passover Lamb. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, and our perfect provider. He's the quieter of the storm, the quick and powerful Word of God. I like this. He's the Redeemer, the Rock of Ages, our refuge, and the refiner's fire. He is the rule of the nations, the resurrection and the life. He's a ransom for our soul and the rose of Sharon. He's the root of David, the returning king. I like this. He's a rider on the white horse. He's the restorer of all which is lost. He's the reigning Lord. He's Savior, the suffering servant, the stone, the sacrifice, the sinless one. We're coming down the stretch. Don't leave me now. He's a shepherd. He's a son of righteousness. He's the son of God and the son of man. Who is this Jesus? He's the tree of life, the tabernacle, the teacher, and the truth. He's the unction of the Spirit. He's the vine, the victorious one. He is the way, the witness, wonderful word, and wisdom. He is yesterday, today, and forever. And is Zion's righteous prince. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Now you can have a spell now if you want to give the Lord a hand, would you? Jesus, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, that wonderful, sovereign name. There's another declaration that comes forth from the resurrection. Not only is Jesus the sovereign Son of God, He's the saving Son of God. Now, folks, please don't miss this. Jesus is not the best way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Paul would say, he's a savior of those who are religious but lost. Paul was a Pharisee, and Paul knew the law frontwards and backwards, and he was a theologian in his own right, but his heart was empty and he didn't know Jesus. What did he find out about the declaration of the resurrection? That Jesus is the saving Son of God. And Paul would say, if we could call him up here and say, Paul, give us a little testimony. He might say, if Jesus could save me, he could save anybody. Anybody. Thank God for the saving Christ. The Philippian jailer. Tell us about your experience. He said, I was afraid for my life. Paul and Silas had gotten out of jail. I knew it was going to cost them my life. And Paul told me how to be saved, and I was gloriously, would say the Philippian jailer, saved that night at the jail. That, by the way, you know that was the first incident of what we have come to know as rock and roll. Thank you, Bobby. The jail doors shook, and the place rocked, and it rolled, and then God opened up the doors, and Paul and Silas were set free, and that's what caused the Philippian jailer to get saved. The woman at the well would say, He's a friend of sinners. When you've sinned and you've messed up, Jesus is a Savior who still loves you and hadn't given up on you. Nicodemus would say to those whose hearts are empty, they're moral, but they're empty, and they don't have a meaning for facing life, Jesus is the one whose name is above every name. Blind Bartimaeus would say, those that are helpless, without any reason for facing life, can find life abundantly and life eternally in Christ. The thief on the cross, when you've lost your last hope and there's no other way and you just know that life is gone, Jesus is a friend of sinners. And Jesus saved that thief on the cross to remind us there's nobody beyond reach of the grace of God. Zacchaeus would say, he came by where I was and he saw my empty heart, and Jesus changed me from who I was to the man I'm becoming. And the Gadarene demoniac was tormented and tortured, and he would say, Jesus set me free and gave me peace. What are we trying to say? The resurrection declares that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the sovereign Son of God. He is the saving Son of God. And by the way, this morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord personally, there's nothing you need more more urgently, more immediately than a relationship with Christ. In fact, God, salvation is a gift of God by grace through faith. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't pay your way to heaven. Jesus paid the price. And it's discovered and achieved. And you are saved the moment you turn from sin and by faith turn to Christ. He's a saving Son of God. I like number three. Jesus is declared to be the Lord by the resurrection from the dead because He is the satisfying Son of God. Satisfying Son of God. John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus didn't come just to deliver you from hell. Now, thank God He does that. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He didn't save us just to get us to heaven. By the way, He wants to give us a little bit of heaven down here. Every time we worship, we experience a little bit of heaven down here. But there is a city of gold. Heaven's a real place for redeemed people. But God didn't save us just to rescue us from hell or just to get us to heaven. In between, there's life. There's life abundant. There's life eternal in Christ. Life unspeakably full and full of glory. He's the satisfying Son of God. You won't find what you need in drugs. You won't find what you need in alcohol. You won't find what you need in the world. You won't find what you need in and you fill in the blank. But Jesus will be all you'll ever need. If you know Jesus, folks, you can make it in life. He is a wonderful Savior. And lastly, Jesus is not only the satisfying Son of God, He is the seeking, welcoming Son of God. I love this one. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Years ago, Josh McDowell wrote a book. It's probably from the 70s. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Josh McDowell took all the accounts of the resurrection and all the details and put them together as though they were evidence exhibits in a courtroom, in a court of law. He said, when you look at the empty tomb, the fact that Jesus could not have been put there unless He was dead. When you look at the fact the soldiers were commissioned by Pilate to guard that tomb. By the way, you can't deny those facts. And there are even some that would say that the Jews or the Christians fabricated this truth that the world might think that Jesus was alive when He wasn't. Folks, listen. People don't live their lives and give their lives for a lie. These people knew that Jesus was alive. And they were so transformed by it, they wanted everybody else to know it. Jesus is the seeking, welcoming Son of God. The resurrection is indeed evidence that demands a verdict. Many, many years ago, there was an escape artist. You know his name, Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini was known because he could break the shackles that bound him. He could escape out of situations that were absolutely impossible to get out of. And Harry Houdini died. Harry Houdini had bragged, I'm coming back. I'm going to be alive again. And 10 years later, his bride gathered together an assembly of people and tried to call Harry Houdini back to the dead. Guess what? He didn't come. He didn't come because Harry Houdini was dead. Dead. But I want to tell you, when you call upon the name of Jesus, He'll come to you. If you're lost, He'll come. If you're brokenhearted and wounded, He'll come. If you're grieving, He'll come to you. If you need a Savior, He'll come to you just where you are, like you are, and He'll clean you up. Transform your life. What does Easter really say? That Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. And He's an enough God for everybody here. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior? And this closing thought, all that really matters when you take your last breath is what did you do? Let's bow together, please. With all hearts and heads bowed for just a moment, I'm going to ask our sweet, gifted instrumentalists just to begin playing softly and sweetly. Jack's going to come in a moment and lead us in a hymn of invitation. If you have never given your heart and life to Christ, or if you're not sure that if you died today you'd have a home in heaven, wouldn't you settle that now? You can right here, right now. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and just repeating a prayer doesn't save you, but it's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of faith, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with all of your heart, turning from sin and turning to Christ. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In your heart of hearts, silently, but meaning it with every fiber of your being, if you'd like to trust Jesus right now, doesn't mean you've got to join this church or become a Baptist. Just means you'd like to know this Jesus as your personal Savior. Why don't you pray a prayer something like this, quietly in your heart, but meaning it? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I turn away from sin. I'm so sorry for the way that I've lived. Lord, I turn to Christ. I confess that I'm a sinner, but I invite Jesus to come into my heart and take control of my life. I open the door to my life and invite Jesus in. I want you to come and be my master and my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for loving me and living for me. Thank you for dying for me and coming back to life for me. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to save me when I call upon you. Thank you that today my life has a brand new beginning. Now, hearts and heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, when we stand and sing, the invitation is a wonderful opportunity for you to affirm the decision you just now made as you prayed with me. If you meant it with all of your heart, and I believe that you did, you come, and I'd be glad and delighted and honored to pray with you. Help you to understand more, give you some materials to carry home to help you understand what it means to be saved. Maybe your life is just falling apart. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life and you just need God to restore the joy of your salvation. You're saved, but you're struggling. You may want to come. This altar is always open. And just simply say, Lord, you know what I'm struggling with. Take my burdens and my hurts, my cares and my concerns, and I give them to you. Lord, I need you to be my burden bearer today. You come for whatever need there may be in your life. Father, thank you for the glorious gospel. Thank you that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. One day is coming, oh glorious day. Until then, help us to place our faith, our lives, totally in the hands of Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Would you join?